This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Keith, you ready for a Bruins rebuild and NFL free agency?
Jones, I've been ready my entire life for both of these things. What a day. What a day to be alive. I got up extra early this morning, in part because my daughter doesn't sleep. I've mentioned that before. It was my night with the daughter, so I was up very, very throughout the night. But I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go today.
If anybody should be ready to go,
I'm fired up.
It should be one Rich Keefe, top NHL insider.
That's right.
A few days now after the NHL trade deadline.
Yeah.
Where the Bruins blew it up. And I didn't know that they had
After we got off the show on Friday.
Correct.
We were on until 2, as
correct.
We always are. And we were like, they haven't really done much. Trent Frederick gone. Justin Brazeau gone. Hour to go. What's going to happen? And then things really got going.
Then we leave. It's Carlo on the way out, among others.
Oh, Coyle. Yeah.
By the way, Brad Marchand on the way out.
Huh.
So Bruins blow it up, which I didn't think they'd have the heart to do.
Same.
And I don't know. Now that he's gone, I guess fans miss Brad Marchand a little more than they thought they would. I think it was the right move at the trade deadline.
No,
but
I think
guess there's a little more outrage.
I think fans are upset about the return. I don't think they're as upset. I'm not going to tell you how to feel. You feel the way you want to feel. This did become somewhat personal, this whole thing with Brad Marchand calling for my job, but we put that to the side. Put that to the side for right now. Mm. I think fans saw the return for Trent Frederick, saw the return for Carlo, saw the return for Coyle, and thought you could get more for Marchand. Turns out he is hurt, and maybe that had a big factor to do with it because they're still paying half his contract. And they got a conditional pick. You actually called the return. You said, what if it was a second-round pick with conditions to make it a first? And I was like, that seems kind of low to me.
I said that's the lowest I would accept.
Well,
I didn't predict
and
it. I just said that's what I would take, and it is what I'd take. I'm happy with the trade. I'm happy with the deadline.
If they got
zero? You're not trading Brad Marchand.
Oh. He'll join us. Isn't that amazing? He stopped doing interviews with us because we asked him about Brad Marchand being traded. Then Brad Marchand was traded.
Can we be fair to Razor?
He said, please.
He said, if you're getting Connor McDavid back, they'd trade him.
Would they get back?
They got back. Check. They got back.
Second round pick?
It could be a first rounder in 2028.
Got it.
So he did say maybe they'd trade him for Connor McDavid. But otherwise, he said, no, they will not trade him. 0% chance you don't trade your captain.
You don't trade captains unless your team stinks and you need to blow it up. And that's what they did. How about Cam Neely calling it a retool? And then Don Sweeney's like, no. I got a retool. Unless that tool is like a wrecking ball.
Yeah, we need a new. We're getting
that's
a whole
like
new
a hammer or a chisel.
Tool shed is what they wound up getting.
We're going to destroy everything.
Yeah. So, no, I think they made the right move.
I agree.
I expected more for Marchand as well. I'm a little annoyed, I guess, on some level. Or it's just interesting that he's now a Florida Panther. So, like, I get that. But they made the right moves at the trade deadline, I think. You guys can jump in all day long, 617-779-7937. That's where you can react to the Bruins and their trade deadline and NFL free agency. Good day for Twitter to be down, by the way, Keith.
We got to get to Blue Sky now?
I just tried to log into Twitter to say, hey, what's going on in the NFL? I think it's just down, if I'm not mistaken.
There's just too many people tweeting about Harold Landry.
I thought you were going to say too many people voting in the Jones and Keefe bracket. Remember, we had people coming out after 10 years and not signing into Twitter.
It could be that.
So it could absolutely be that. But no, when it comes to the Bruins, I think a lot of people now are sympathetic to Marchand on the way out and, oh, well, Don Sweeney doesn't know what he's doing and he didn't get enough in return and now he's a Florida Panther and our pets' heads are falling off and all this stuff. I wonder if Marchand was asking for a lot more than we realize.
Possible.
And I wonder if Marchand, the team was a lot more willing to work with Marchand than he was to work with them. And the reason I say that, we're going to play you some Elliot Friedman coming up. I think Elliot Friedman makes it clear the Bruins weren't lowballing him. They weren't asking him to take the Bergeron-Krejci contract. They were willing to meet him on his term. And he wound up with the Florida Panthers. Hmm. So like,
but he wanted the Florida Panthers, which I think people are kind of skipping past.
Yeah.
A lot of talk over the weekend was how bad it is he's going to Florida. Of all teams, like what a nail in the coffin to Bruins fans to send him to Florida. He went to Florida because he wanted to go to Florida.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And so
they actually did him a solid.
The team was much more willing to work with him than maybe he was with them. So I think if you're angry, you should be angry at Marchand, who, oh, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way.
Yes.
Was the captain of this team. They were a mess. It wasn't just that they stink on the ice, Keith.
I know that's not true. I heard that. It was a lie that you heard that.
I know you know this. Yeah. They didn't just stink on the ice. They were a problem off the ice, and they got rid of part of their problem.
They got rid of the captain, and they were having issues, obviously, inside the locker room. They fired their coach. This was a perennial playoff team. We expected playoffs once again this year. They fired their coach early in the season. They couldn't get out of their own way, right? They'd win a couple games, and they'd go on like a losing streak. They were a disaster. Didn't think that that was even groundbreaking stuff. They pushed back on that. They legit, not to make it about me, Jones. That's the last thing I want to do.
No, but.
But they had more fight against me and my stupid scoop than they did anything on the ice all season long. And so that only lasted for a little bit. Then ultimately, water found its level. That was not a very good locker room. How do we know? Don Sweeney blew the whole thing up, traded away the captain, traded away Frederick and Marchand, where you're like, okay, those might be more like roster moves because those are guys that they were negotiating with that they couldn't get new deals with. They're going to walk for nothing, both UFAs. But then Carlo and Coyle, these guys were on the team for a long time. Then some other minor players. They traded more players than anybody else in the NHL. Like, what does that tell you?
So, no, it should say a lot, and I agree. Marchand is a big move because of the sentimentality and, like, the connection back to the Cup team in 2011. Frederick was a UFA. Marchand was a UFA. So they're kind of in one bucket, even though you're much more connected to one player than the other. But Carlo and Coyle and guys like that, those are guys with term who you thought were going to be around for a while, and that does speak to a larger problem. And Sweeney realizing there's a much larger problem. So again, you guys can jump in all day long. 617-779-7937. We'll get to the Patriots. Basically doing nothing so far in free agency. Legal tampering doesn't start until noon.
Yeah, but other teams are doing stuff.
It feels like there's a lot of movement out there.
Yeah.
And save for minor deals like re-signing Austin Hooper and trading away Devon Godchow for a seventh-round pick, they've signed Harold Landry. That's kind of the big move they've made, which I think is a nice move.
Yeah, it's nice.
I'm not sure it moves the needle a ton. So we'll get to the Patriots coming up here in a moment. Before we get to your phone calls and your feedback on the Bruins and the job they did at the deadline, whether or not you think they made the right move by dealing Brad Marchand to Florida, of all places, let's hear from Elliot Friedman. I thought this was interesting intel. The Adam Schefter of hockey.
That's right.
The Canadian Adam Schefter. Here's what Elliot Friedman had to say on the intel he's heard about Brad Marchand and his final days as a Bruin.
Just a few more things I wanted to go over from the Marchand situation. Number one, I think the Bruins and the player had agreed on term, 3 years. But as Don Sweeney said yesterday, there was a gap, and there was a gap on AAV. And I don't think he was being asked to take a pay cut or anything like that, but I do think it was a sizable gap that they obviously could not bridge.
Okay, stop.
Where I think this...
So... Sweeney kept saying term gap, by the way. Like, there was a gap in term.
It's confusing.
In his press conference. But let's stick with Friedman for a moment.
Okay.
Friedman says he wasn't taking a pay cut on AAV. So they're offering him at least $6 million-ish a year. If he's not taking a pay cut on AAV, they're around $6 million a year.
Which I feel like is not a low ball.
I don't think so either.
He's an older guy. We talked about how some of the players like Chara and Krejci and Bergeron played for scraps at the end.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that Marchand should play for scraps, but if it's not a pay cut, right now he's making, what, $6.1 million?
Yeah.
Which isn't that bad. Although I could also see from Marchand's side, you just paid Elias Lindholm. You just paid Zadorov. You just like, what is going on here?
I think Marchand has every right to want a raise.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I don't think the Bruins were offering him a pay cut.
No, he just said that they weren't.
So that's L.A. Friedman said they weren't. Our good buddy DJB, I was on TV on Friday.
Oh, my God. Bragg City.
Bragg. And
what a night.
Sick brag, bro.
Our good pal DJ Bean.
Yeah.
Suggested that the Bruins were offering, $6.3 million a year, the cute number that they do sometimes
cute.
In the NHL. Like they'll offer Sid Crosby 8.7.
6.3.
Marchand 63. They were offering him 6.3.
Is that why Gretzky was 99? Just to squeeze the most money out of a corny contract.
He's like, I'll take a triple digit. So
they're like, Swayman, we'll offer you $1 million.
Sorry. Good pal.
He's like, God.
DJ Bean. Yeah. I'm foiled again.
$6.3 million.
Robert Parrish was never making a dime.
No.
And so.
You're going to be a free guy. $6.3 million for 3 years.
And again, it aligns with what Friedman said. Okay, they're not asking him to take a pay cut. They said they met him on term, and there was still a sizable gap. So what was Marchand asking for? Marchand might have been asking for 7, 7.5, 8, north of that. And I'm with you, Keith. I don't even blame him.
But we're $1.2 trillion.
Well, here's what I would at least ask for. Yeah. Elias Lindholm is making $7.75 million a year. Is he earning that? No. If you're Brad Marchand, you see that guy, and you're like, you're paying him how much for how long?
Okay, so they paid Lindholm. They paid Zadorov. They paid McAvoy. They paid Pasternak. They paid Swayman.
Yeah.
So I don't blame Marchand if Marchand says, guys, I've taken my haircut for the last 8 years, $6 million a year. No, I want to raise, but let's just represent it accurately.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
We're getting a bunch of texts. No, he wanted a Bergeron deal. No, he wanted a Krejci deal.
No way.
Well, maybe you're
Does
right.
Does not seem like it.
Maybe you're right, but that's not what Elliot Friedman is saying. So let's keep going here with Elliot Friedman on Sportsnet over the weekend.
Where I think this really went sideways was there was a point this week where Brad Marchand, who was currently injured and not in the lineup, asked for a face-to-face meeting with Bruins management. I don't know exactly when it was. I don't know exactly who was there, but it did happen. And in that meeting, Brad Marchand asked for a compromise. He said, I will compromise. I will bend on some of my ask. I'm asking the Bruins to bend on some of their stance, and we'll find a way to get this deal done because he wanted to stay as a Bruin. And it just didn't happen. The Bruins had gone as far as they were willing to go. And look, anybody out here watching hockey in the hockey world has watched Brad Marchand play. We know he's going to the Hall of Fame for one major reason. He's got an incredible amount of pride, and he puts everything on the line. I think he was really stung by that. And then all of a sudden, the Bruins started to look, okay, we're not going to go any farther. We're going to start looking out there. And I think one of the things that really happened in the last 24 to 48 hours before the deadline was that Marchand's agent, I was told by several teams, Wade Arnott, made it very clear that Marchand had a place he wanted to go. And obviously that was Florida. And in the last minutes, the Bruins acquiesced and made the deal. But so that's everything I understand there. And I think it really hurt Marchand that the face-to-face meeting couldn't get a deal done.
Wah.
So Marchand, in wanting to screw over the Bruins, is screwing over the fan base. Like, sending him to Florida, it was a kick in the nuts. Because now not only do you have to watch Florida, but because it's a conditional pick, you have to root for Florida. So now we need the Panthers to go at least to the conference final in order to get a first-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
But that was him. That was what he wanted. So Don Sweeney, so Marchand, according to Elliot Friedman, wanted to stay with the Bruins, but at his own terms. And maybe he'd bend a little bit, but obviously not bend enough. And then the Bruins, it really feels like, didn't want him. Right? Like, it's sort of one of those deals where...
I don't, if they're offering him 6.3, does that not... They don't want him?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's... But if they're not going to budge off of that, I mean, I don't know. I don't think they're as broken up as fans are that he's gone.
No, well, I agree with that, yeah. 100%. But, like, I don't know. I think Marchand was more of a driving force behind this than maybe people... The fact he wound up in Florida. You think the team wanted to send him to Florida?
No, I don't.
Like, do you think
and
that's
pay
what,
his money and get a second-round pick?
Do you think that's what Sweeney and Neely and ownership, if they ever paid attention to the team, do you think that's what they wanted to do? Exactly. Take him for pennies on the dollar from Florida. You think that's what they wanted?
And also,
or do you think Marchand kind of strong-armed the situation and said, this is where I'm going out of spite?
Yeah.
Or to prove a point? I just, to make Marchand out, and Friedman was doing a little bit of this, make him out like he's an angel and he's hurt by all this and he was just an innocent bystander?
No. He picked Florida.
I think he's much more of a driver behind this than at least people are leading on.
Yeah, it wasn't a pay cut. We don't know what his ask was. We also don't know what the Bruins' final offer was. Like, if 6'3", it seems like it's not disrespectful for a guy that's in his late 30s and 3 more years. I mean, hell, they were making Chara go year to year, weren't they? Like, that
at the end, yeah.
I mean, and he was a real captain. He was a captain with leadership abilities. And so they didn't want to go to that extreme with Marchand. It also feels like anybody's thoughts of trade him and then re-sign him in the offseason, that ship has sailed. Like, there's no way that they're going to re-sign this guy. I know you thought it was unlikely
that
anyway.
That was never going to happen, but yeah.
But just take it off the table.
No, that dream is dead. He ain't coming back.
No, but this is one of those where the negotiations, and we were also told by our former insider, Andrew Raycroft, that the deal was done and they were just going to announce it in the offseason.
Correct.
Not only is that not the case, but the lack of a future deal is why he was traded at the deadline. That was why they were like, we will send him for pennies on the dollar to a rival because we're not going to re-sign him. And what's best for business going forward is to get something for the asset.
Yeah.
We're not gonna fumble this like Tom Brady going to the Bucks for nothing or Xander Bogaerts walking away to the Padres for nothing. We're going to at least get something for this player that won't re-sign here.
So, look, I just say this. Marchand might be right to want $7 or $8 million a year.
Go ahead.
You know, he's still playing good hockey. You know, he just took a way below market deal for the last 8 years. So he might be right to ask for more. I'm not even blaming him for that. I'm just saying, I think he wanted more. I don't think he was, the Bruins were lowballing him. I think he wanted more money, and I think he's going to Florida for a reason to send a point.
Just a guess, I bet he wanted more money than Elias Lindholm, only because that was the big offseason sign. Also, how about
He'd be right to want it.
So go back all the way to the beginning of the year. The offseason, at the beginning of the hockey season, we were spending so much time talking about Swayman. And a couple of things happened, right? Swayman was talking about his contract publicly.
Mm-hmm.
Brad Marchand was asked about his contract. He's like, we don't do that.
No.
And then at the same time, he saw the
demand
team
trades to rivals is what we do.
He went out swinging. Yeah. He went out the way he came in, right? Yeah. With rat-like behavior. That's fine. But Swayman, after talking about it publicly, got $8.25 million a year. Certainly way more than Marchand. In that same time, they signed these two big free agent signings who both suck. Like, varying degrees of suck, right? Like, Zadorov's useless. Lindholm has flashes where you're like, oh, he's pretty good.
Then
he disappears for weeks.
Zadorov actively hurts the team. Lindholm, you just don't notice.
Yeah, you don't even know he's out there. Right. He's not exactly killing you. But for the money that they're spending on all three of those guys, meanwhile, I'm sure Marchand and his agent were trying to negotiate all the way back then, and they kept getting stonewalled. And they're like, wait a minute, you just gave out, if you add it all up, $25 million or whatever it was between those three guys. And he's like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Like, look at the resume here. And
so,
like, no.
So to me, the contract was the massive, massive sticking point here. And the Bruins are finally ushered into a new era, which I'm happy about. Are you? You can jump in. 617-779-7937. You can also call in to give credit to Rich Keefe. I see a lot of this on the text line already, Keefe.
Thank you. I got a ton of it over the weekend, actually, in all seriousness. I do a lot of people on Instagram and Twitter.
Warm the cockles of your heart.
It did.
That's nice.
My cold, dead heart. It helped.
Here we go. Keefe's Beef's first fatality. Keefe wins. Flawless victory.
That'd be John Farrell.
It's true. It wasn't your first.
No.
First victory.
But hey.
Fatality.
Thank you.
Keefe, don't trip during your victory lap today.
I'm not going to.
Okay.
I'm obviously very humble, Jones. I'm going to take the high road.
Like, yeah, please. The
only thing I will say, because there were a lot of doubters, including the man, Brad Marchand himself,
yeah.
All I will say is this.
But today, I'm the greatest of all time. Thank you.
That's it. That's short and sweet.
Okay, good.
That's all I'm going to say.
So if you had a statement, yeah, that's it. Okay, yep. Good. Can we print that up on like company letterhead? Get like an actual official statement from hashtag Team Keefe. Could we
that's
do that?
It.
I would like to see.
Scoops remains undefeated.
I also like this one. And this is the text line saying this. I wouldn't go here.
Not you.
This is not me.
Go ahead. Text line.
Of course, no Boston media member knew any of the Bruins trades.
No. Oh God, crickets.
They are all useless.
Yeah. Well,
it's not a bad point.
You're not wrong.
When it comes to the Bruins beat, there was a lot of phone refreshing going on Friday while they were waiting for details. Right. Like, did anybody get? We were waiting for hours,
which we also could do
for details about the Marchand trade and details about the Carlo trade. And these guys are all sitting around refreshing their phones at Warrior.
I did really enjoy Twitter's down, but I believe again, a friend of the show, Andrew Raycroft, he had a couple of really good breakdowns of the Marchand trade and the Carlo trade.
Yeah, I think it was the same breakdown.
They retweeted it and wrote, "Oh, mama." Pretty solid. You pitched a fit on the air about how you couldn't do it.
Yeah, oh, mama.
So I assume he must have attacked like, Don Sweeney with a vengeance.
He must have been like, "Oh, mama, my timeline."
Oh, that
must
mama. Have been, that must oh, have mama, my mentions.
Oh, mama, my mentions.
I'll look out below.
So you can jump in. 617-779-7937. We'll refer you to Keefe's official statement.
Yeah.
If you're curious how he's doing here today, as the Bruins have blown it up. Patriots have made one signing. Harold Landry is not a bad signing. He's not. Harold Landry was released by the Titans. He's back with Vrabel. He was drafted by Mike Vrabel in Tennessee earlier in his career. He's back in New England. He played collegiately at BC. Good edge rusher, good addition.
Yeah. Unfortunately, some of the guys we really wanted, names are coming off the list
this
here.
Well, this is how I feel about it, and we can dive deeper into it throughout the course of the hour, throughout the course of the day. But like, if you look at all these top 100 free agent lists, top 50, all these lists, who's even out there and who's even left? And are the Patriots going to get him? Do you trust them to get him? It's not going to be DK Metcalf. It's not going to be Davante Adams. Ronnie Stanley never made it to free agency, among others. So, yeah, they've made minor moves. They brought back Austin Hooper. They traded away Devon Godchow for a seventh-round pick. They did sign Harold Landry, which I like. I just don't feel like that's the kind of move we were all waiting for and expecting early in free agency when they had all this money and they were linked to all these names.
Yeah.
So it's kind of what? Chris Godwin, Milton Williams, DJ Reed.
Is Cooper Kupp going to spring free?
Good one. Yeah. If he finally gets released by the Rams, maybe.
No, the Harold Landry one is like on its own. You're like, okay, that's more assurance that Mike Vrabel's calling the shots. And then you get into everything else, which has been nothing. It's been a re-sign of Austin Hooper, and you're like, oh, man, this might just go back to them not being willing to spend money. Right? Like, that's what it kind of feels like. You're going to have to spend money. Obviously, draft capital when it comes to, like, DK Metcalf, but you're going to have to overspend. Your team stinks. Everybody talks about the state tax, you know, Belichick, Taxachusetts, all that. Okay, fine. You need to spend more money to get some of these guys in here, and so far, you have not.
So, you know, I do wonder what they have up their sleeve. We should start getting wind of this around noon here on Jones and Keefe. Keep it locked all day long on WEEI, WEEI Afternoons. We'll have you covered all day long leading up to the official start of NFL free agency on Wednesday at 4 o'clock. But I do think people need to pick whether or not Elliott Wolf has real say or not, because I've seen a lot of blame early on for Wolf. It's like, oh, Wolf can't do this, Wolf can't do that. I thought I was told Elliott Wolf has no say.
And no, somebody was on it. Was somebody in the Twitch
Elliott
chat?
Wolf is de-emphasized, so it's like, you guys better start blaming either Kraft or Vrabel. I don't want to hear any more Elliott Wolf blame. I don't want to hear it.
Well, somebody was right. I forget who had it. I want to give him credit, but they were saying if they have a good offseason, Vrabel will get credit.
Yeah.
If they have a bad one, Wolf will
that
take blame.
That was Twitch. No, you're right. Was. That was on. Yeah. So I mean, that's probably why Wolf is still here.
Yeah.
But like, I hope people use their brains a little bit more. If you think Elliott Wolf has no pull, a lot of you think Elliott Wolf has no pull. All the beat writers tell me he's got no say. It's Vrabel's show.
Yeah.
So you better start blaming Vrabel. Either that or blame Kraft, and Vrabel has no real influence and no real pull, and it's still the Krafts, and they're still running things, and they're still running it into the ground.
Yeah.
But I don't want to hear the blame for Elliott Wolf, because apparently he has no power, from what I've been told, so it'd be hard to blame him. What do you think about the Patriots start to free agency, which is about 90 minutes away? What do you think of the Bruins and the deadline, and how safe is Don Sweeney? I thought Charlie Jacobs had a very, very, very interesting statement about Don Sweeney. We can get to that with all your phone calls coming up. Bruins and Patriots all day long here on Jones and Keefe. Billy Lanny with the latest in trending, and we're right back.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.